So thank you all for coming today, and I'd like to present to you David Meetaswamy.
Well, this is my third time at RMIT, and it's certainly one of my favorite places in the world to speak at. Why is that? Well, I noticed that here the people who attend, they seem to have a deeper interest, more than just a passing interest. As the introduction stated, yes, I do speak all over the world. Recently, in particular, I'm coming from the UK, and I was speaking both at universities and high schools there. One thing that very much surprised me was that the level of stress and anxiety in society now is not just affecting those in their 40s, 30s, 20s. Now it goes down into the teens. I had so many 17-year-olds coming and telling me, we're so stressed, we feel such pressure, we feel such anxiety. And my first question was, well, you're only 17. Why are you feeling like this? Because we have to make the right career choice now. We have to choose our courses in school very carefully. If we make one mistake and don't choose the right course of study, our whole life career could be jeopardized. We have to decide now. Will we be prepared to be a dentist? Will we be prepared to be a doctor or a lawyer or a healthcare assistant or whatever? But we've got to choose the right courses right now at the age of 17. Otherwise, our whole future can be jeopardized. I was quite surprised to hear from so many of these 17-year-olds. This was their great tribulation that they're going through. So I said, well, you know, you're 17. I mean, aren't you in anxiety about, you know, whether you're going to have a good weekend, you know, whether you're going to have a good time on Friday night or Saturday night, whether you're going to have good social life? They said, that stuff comes and goes like water. We're not so concerned about that. That social life is easy to get. Plenty of clubs around. There's plenty of ecstasy around. That's not our concern. Our real concern is that society has put such a burden upon us that our whole future depends on the curriculum that we are studying now and what we choose to study. Because if we choose the wrong course of study at the age of 17, we could be out of position in the job competition. I thought this was very interesting. From the UK, I went to Murmansk, which is the northernmost city in the world, above the Arctic Circle. and, of course, if you know anything about Russian history, Murmansk is where the Russian fleet would stay during the winter, because the harbor doesn't freeze due to the currents in the ocean. It's an ice-free port. It's about a population of 500,000 who live so far north. Once again, I was presented with so much anxiety because half of the people in the city are related to someone who's a sailor, either in the Russian Navy or in commercial shipping. And they don't see that person, in most cases their husband, for 4 months at a time. Then again, they're in anxiety because the Russian fleet, the old Russian fleet powered by nuclear energy, is mothballed in the harbor. So many aging, rusting, nuclear-powered ships are just laid to rest in the harbor, and they're known to leak radioactivity, so much so that in the center of the town, just like in many cities, there's a big clock in the center of the town. In Murmansk, there's a big Geiger counter in the center of the town. The gift of the Finnish government. Finland is just nearby. So the Finnish government kindly gifted Murmansk with a huge Geiger counter. Obviously, the Finns were concerned. You know, if something gets out of hand and blows across the border, we want to know about it. So the people are in anxiety. What to do? Now, we've heard that people are getting radioactive poisoning, but then the government denies it. I think it would be safe to say that wherever we go, we're going to find that this is an age of anxiety. Okay, on the one hand, our computers are getting faster. The food is getting faster. The music is getting faster. The communication systems are getting faster. Everything is going at a greater and greater speed, but at the same time, in spite of all these conveniences, people are filled with more and more stress and anxiety. I believe last time I was here, or it might have been at Melbourne Uni, I spoke about how in my travels to the USA, I was born there, but don't go there too much. So many students told me that their parents are pressuring them. You can't just have one area of concentration at the university. You have to have a, what they call in the States, a double major. And if you really want to be on the cutting edge, a triple major. Because you just don't know what field, what occupation is going to go boom or bust by the time you finish school. So the parents are pushing their kids, you know, don't just concentrate on one thing. You've got to have another backup. Okay, biomedicine, that could be your primary strategy. But do another concentration in business management just in case. And then, who knows, look for a cutting-edge field that might happen in the future. And how about a triple major, triple concentration? And the students, the university students, are feeling all this pressure. Jobs are scarce. How can we compete? Then what about those who already have jobs? I was talking to one corporate manager here in Australia, and he was telling me that so much downsizing is going on. And so what happens is the managers wait till Friday to let you know that you've been made obsolete, because then there's a whole weekend for the rest of the staff to forget about it. Because what happens is the staff who are not getting terminated, they get very disturbed because it could be us next. So on the day that someone is terminated, they get very feisty, you know, very, how could this happen? But by the time the weekend passes and Monday comes around, things have calmed down a bit. So the managers do it all on Friday morning. Someone comes to their office, you know, having kissed the kids goodbye, off to school, kissed the wife goodbye. You know, men who have been doing this for 20, 25 years, middle managers, they come to work and all of a sudden, they're called in and told, we're sorry, we have to let you go. And what's more, this is how they do it in Australia. You have 30 minutes to pack your things and leave. Why is that? Why 30 minutes? Because everything is so computerized these days, they don't want you to hang around too long, so you have a chance, out of spite, to screw up the computer system. So they give you 30 minutes. And often they say, can we send someone with you to help you pack? In other words, to keep an eye that you don't get into the computer system and, you know, screw everything up. And so this corporate manager was telling me, grown men just break down and cry. They can't believe it. 20 years I've been working with this firm. I've given everything. I've sacrificed my family life. I've taken on so much stress, so much anxiety, and how this is the end. Some of them are reduced to such an emotional wreck that they have to get a driver to drive the person back home. And then the shock is so great, the the wife may be still there. She hasn't gone to work yet. And, what, you're coming back? What happened? And then the man has to explain, I have no job anymore. So this fear is widespread, so much so that anxiety is now accepted as a normal part of life. In the USA, for example, the statistics show that 19 million people suffer from anxiety disorder. That's more people than live in Australia. Yet only 25% of those 19 million seek any kind of medical relief for anxiety disorder. In other words, it's very common, and it's also very common that people don't know what to do about it. What is anxiety disorder? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. We'll distinguish anxiety disorder from normal fear feelings, normal stress feelings that come and go. It is helpful to understand when the stress, when the anxiety reaches a dangerous level. Okay. Now, by the time we conclude, we'll also be discussing a more metaphysical or spiritual understanding of stress and anxiety based on the ancient Vedic knowledge of India. We're going to be talking about the king of Eastern knowledge, Krishna consciousness, and what it reveals about our lifestyle and the atmosphere in which we live in. But that'll be at the end. First, we'll start off a bit conventionally, a bit mainstream, and then we'll veer off a bit near the end, just to make things a bit exciting, you know? Okay. Now, we all know how anxiety feels. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're not sleeping, you're wide awake. Your palms are sweaty. Your heart can be beating, racing. You've got something on your mind. You're worried. What are you worried about? If you're an older person, you're worried about your kids or your aging parents or your retirement funds or your health, your sex life. If you're younger, you're a university student, you're worried. Are you going to successfully complete your education? What is your girlfriend doing? What is your boyfriend doing? How are your relationships going? Anything can be a cause of anxiety, so much so that your whole life becomes saturated with these most unpleasant feelings. I'm sure that you all can remember that sometimes your body is feeling comfortable, but your mind is just so disturbed. And for bodily discomfort, you can generally do something about. But mental disturbance, what can you do? How much intoxication can one take to solve the problem of a disturbed mind? All right. So let's say you're hit with anxiety over something. I'm not successfully completing my studies. I've lost my partner. I've crashed my car and totaled it. On and on it can go. Then a person who's right next to you, maybe a person who's sleeping right next to you, is just breathing evenly and peacefully, completely oblivious to all the dangers that because you are feeling anxiety, you see danger in every shadow. Oh, what will the future bring? What will happen now? So why is it that some persons seem to be very peaceful and others are subject to such worry and anxiety? Is it that some people are born nervous? Some people are born to be stress wrecks? And some aren't? I think you could say that everyone has had experience at one point in their life of acute worry, acute stress, especially because we live in a particularly anxious age. So this subject matter of stress and anxiety is important for everyone. It's not that it's just for a few persons who live abnormally hectic lifestyles. No, everyone today is affected by stress and anxiety. Now, let's talk about what happens when you have to really put out to achieve something, or when you are affected by some challenge, some fear. The adrenaline glands secrete cortisol, and this cortisol makes you have heightened awareness of what's going on around you. You are to every little thing that happens in your surroundings. You're trying to decide, flight or fight. Should I fight back? Is there something to fight back against? Or should I run? This heightened state of awareness gets so extreme that in your body that even the digestion shuts off, because the body wants to use all of the energy possible for dealing with the threat. The same thing happens even in other species like salmon. Do they have salmon in Australia? Yes. So, you know, the female salmons, they go upstream to spawn. And it's a hard struggle getting upstream. They've got to fight the current to get upstream. And so, yes, they have adrenals that secrete cortisol, and that rallies every bit of their energy to fight upstream to get to some spot where the female salmon can lay eggs. So the cortisol does its job. And in fact, all other important aspects of the salmon system shut down just so all energy can be focused on getting upstream. What happens when the female salmon finally gets upstream, fighting her way, and gets somewhere to lay her eggs? She dies out of exhaustion. That's the price that's paid for this adrenaline drive, this adrenaline rush. Everything has a price in nature. That's something that we should not only understand about the environment in terms of ecology, but we should also understand in terms of our own lifestyle. Whatever you choose to do with your lifestyle, you've got to pay for it with energy. In one sense, everything costs, you know, a pound of flesh. So you have to calculate, how much are you burning? How much of your own fuel are you burning to get what you want? All right. Now, let's discuss some other things about stress and anxiety. When anxiety starts to disturb your body and mind, that means it's lingering, it's hanging on. This is when you can start to understand there's been some disorder. Just like everyone knows about September 11 in New York City, my place of birth, where the great terrorist event. Although that happened a while back now, practically 2 years ago, millions of people continue to share a kind of generalized mass anxiety. So a recent poll found that nearly two-thirds of all the Americans think about that terror attack at least several times a week, although it was quite some time ago. So this is like a mass syndrome, something that set in. And then add that to all the other anxieties people are going through about jobs, study, their relationships, and you can start to understand what is covering the world right now. Basically, Western civilization is exporting anxiety. All right. Now, we must discriminate between normal anxiety and abnormal anxiety. We'll lay a foundation before we veer off the mainstream a bit and get into a more metaphysical understanding of anxiety. Normal anxiety is no big deal. There's a response to physical danger or even mental danger. Someone is going to threaten you with acute embarrassment, shame. Someone challenges you. So anxiety actually can be a useful tool for focusing your mind. You all know what it's like when there's a deadline you have to meet or some crisis looming. anxiety makes you focus, and you get a lot done with that focus. But the anxiety becomes a problem when it persists too long beyond the immediate threat. You'll find that there's an increase of people who cannot stop worrying. These days, there's an increase in persons who cannot stop being in anxiety about something. Okay, we can understand someone who's a survivor of a war or some kind of violent situation. They're always going to have flashbacks. But how can you understand the increasing presence of persons who just worry, 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 and they don't know how to stop this? They're in constant fear and anxiety. This is symptomatic of something being wrong in society. Certainly we have to agree that there's heaps of anxiety going around these days. So, what is anxiety disorder? We'll talk about that from the material point of view and later from the spiritual point of view. Anxiety disorder refers to any anxiety that persists to the point that it interferes with your lifestyle. No one likes that. No one likes when a disturbed mind makes your life miserable. Please understand, though, what is the most common mental illness in Western countries? It is anxiety disorder. It has many forms, basically 12, which range from a generalized anxiety disorder to very specific phobias. Obviously, then, we have to be concerned with this. On the one hand, our materialistic lifestyles are pushing us to work more, consume more, become more secure. On the other hand, our stress and anxiety levels are increasing. We should be clear now about how scientists describe what is stress, fear, and anxiety, and what the folk definitions are. Most people think stress means you're stressed out. You're just worried about something. You feel pressure. So, actually, you have to be more precise. Stress means something put on you. That's how scientists will describe stress. Not so much something that originates from within you, but someone stresses you out or something puts stress upon you. It's an external stimulus that signals, it signals danger, it signals problems, and often part of the signal that you get is pain. All right, that is stress, something that comes from without to you. So something stresses you. That's a more scientific definition. Not that you feel stress like it's self-created from within. No, something pushes on you and stresses you. And then you get the response of fear. Fear is a short-term response to stress. But what happens if the fear lingers? Both fear and anxiety, from the psychological point of view, share many of the same symptoms. But if those feelings linger long after the stress has gone away, then you know you have an anxiety disorder. And that's what we find so common today. These things are very important because anxiety is the most uncomfortable feeling. You can easily do something in today's world about physical discomfort. But what about this mental discomfort? So painful. Now, you can deal with this superficially. You can start going for walks in the country. You can take deep breaths. You can meditate on a candle. So many things like that. Obviously, you'll relax a little bit. You all know about these things, the superficial approach. What I'm especially here to try and introduced to you is a much deeper understanding of stress and anxiety based on the ancient knowledge of India. Could it be possible that the very material atmosphere that we live in is stress itself. Could that be possible? In other words, instead of thinking, I live in a peaceful world and atmosphere, but now I'm becoming full of anxiety and stress, from the knowledge of ancient India, you get a different perspective, that you are living in a world of anxiety and stress, and therefore you must be affected by that, unless you have a superior spiritual standpoint. This is a completely different way of looking at things. In other words, from the ancient Vedic perspective of India, you take it for a fact that because you have a body of matter and you are living in a material atmosphere, there must be stress and anxiety. So the way to counteract that stress and anxiety from the Krishna conscious point of view is not simply to take a few deep breaths or go for a walk in the country. No, you have to change your relationship with the world. As long as our life is completely relating to matter, then we're not going to be enlivened. We're not going to be peaceful and free of anxiety, because there's a basic mistake at the core of this tendency. The basic mistake is to think, I am matter, everything around me is matter, so let there be peace. Impossible. This is the message of the ancient Vedic knowledge of India, this Krishna conscious knowledge, which has a different perspective, which I think would be very valuable for us to consider. That as long as we think that we are matter, as long as we think that there's nothing but matter, and we have no appreciation or understanding of the spiritual reality, then we must be in anxiety, because we don't have the proper standpoint, and therefore everything doesn't work out. Even we get what we want, and we're still full of anxiety. That is a symptom that something is wrong. Now, most people, it is a fact, are not going to opt for this more metaphysical understanding of stress and anxiety. That I'm stressed, I'm full of anxiety, because I'm falsely identifying with matter, when actually I am a spiritual entity. In other words, I am a non-material entity, anti-material entity. But because I persist in thinking I matter, because I persist in identifying with matter, naturally my consciousness is filled with stress and anxiety. Most people are not going to think like that. But I'm speaking to those who would like to entertain that possibility. I remember, just like, for example, in the famous Matrix film, the only movie I've seen in probably 30 years. Neo was told by Morpheus, most people don't want to be unplugged. Most people are satisfied being locked into the matrix of illusion. Most people are satisfied that even if there is stress and anxiety, I will never change my basic standpoint in life. I am matter. Everything around me is matter. Let there be peace and pleasure. Most people will not change that. Remember, those of you who saw the movie and remember the first one, when the guy Cypher was defecting and going back into the matrix of illusion, he was making a deal with the agent. Look, I know it's all false. I know when I bite into this steak, it's all digital, digitally produced. It's not real. I don't care. Ignorance is bliss. I want that. Make me famous. Make me an actor. Make me rich. I don't care if it's all an illusion. In other words, he became tired of thinking about things. Most people these days don't even get that far to the point where they're tired of thinking about things. The way our social enculturation works is that most people don't even want to think. It doesn't pay. It doesn't pay in terms of temporary gratification. It doesn't pay in terms of income. So therefore, we have a situation in which so much of the population is feeling anxiety and stress, as statistics reveal, but so much of the population doesn't want to think deeply about the cause, other than we should do some deep breathing, we should take a walk in the country, we should light a candle and meditate on it. So, certainly these superficial things do some slight good. We don't want to deny that. But from the viewpoint of the ancient knowledge of India, those who are intelligent, who actually want to penetrate to a deeper understanding, they should know that the fundamental mistake of thinking, I am this body and I am this mind, is actually what's causing all the havoc, all the anxiety disorders. To think you're something that you're not, and never try to cope with this problem. This is the root cause of anxiety according to the Krishna conscious perspective. Now, is our only option to live in a world of anxiety, or what else can we do? If you want to venture a bit further afar from the mainstream, we can explain to you briefly how it is not that this world of matter is all that there is. If you can understand that within your body there is the spirit soul, although the body and mind are matter, then you might wonder, okay, this is the material world, the homeland of the material identity. What is the homeland of the spiritual identity? That is the ultimate solution to anxiety, which must be there in the material realm. If we can understand that I am a spirit soul, and actually I'm not a member of the material reality, I'm a member of the spiritual reality, then we can actually escape the problems of anxiety and stress due to misidentification. And there's nothing wrong with that escape. Sometimes people have a guilty feeling when they start searching for an anti-material reality. Okay, so many people are understanding that you've got to slow down your lifestyle, you've got to take a deep breath, you've got to cut out the caffeine, cut out the nicotine, cut out the white sugar. So many people are understanding that. But is that as far as the lifestyle adjustment should go in our life? So for those of you who dare to consider the spiritual reality, then you know you must search for a lifestyle that situates your existence beyond the realm of matter. That can be done even while you're living in the material world, because already you're spirit soul living in a material body, so why can you not practice a spiritual lifestyle within the material world? It's all a question of knowing the art, knowing the science of how to do things. So this art and science of how to have a spiritual lifestyle within the material world is the great contribution of Krishna conscious knowledge. It is nothing new. This knowledge has been there for thousands of years in the ancient texts of India. Basically, we're not about to give up our material anxieties and stress, even though they're so painful, unless we know there's something better. So I'm sure that many of you had the experience that sometimes you think, is this worth it? Is all this anxiety, all this stress, is it worth it just to get the goal I want? Can there be something else? I don't know. Should I go on like this? What's the point? But then you think, but there's nothing else to do anyway. Okay? You know, that's just the way it is. That's life. That's what the people say. Yeah. There's nothing else, you know. Let me buckle down again and get back into it, even though I know I'm going to be overrun by anxiety and stress once again in a few weeks. But anyway, there's nothing else to do. I've got to focus. I've got to buckle down, get the job done, get my goal achieved. As long as we have no information of the spiritual reality, naturally we're going to think, in spite of all the stress and anxiety, what else is there to do? No one's told me anything better. I don't know anything better. But if we are fortunate and we get knowledge of the spiritual existence, Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita, which is the main spiritual text of India. Maybe some of you have read Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains that just like there is the material world of anxiety, which is a matter-based world, similarly there is a spiritual world which is spirit-based. So actually that is where we're meant to be. But because of mistaken judgment, we are inhabiting the matrix of illusion and we're not quite connecting with the peace and pleasure we want, because that kind of peace and pleasure that we are due is on the spiritual plane. But we are misidentifying with the material plane. So this is a very different approach to stress and anxiety. An approach based on realizing that there's a severe misidentification. How do you catch yourself doing this? Just ask yourself, as a solution to stress and anxiety, just ask yourself, am I this body or am I something else? Discuss it with your partners. Discuss it with your friends. What do you think? Are we this body or are we something else? I know most of your friends will tell you, hey, you're thinking too much, you know. Just deal with life as it is. Have a good time as best you can. Don't ruin it all by thinking so much. No one knows really anyway. Maybe in, you know, 50 years the scientists will figure it out. So that's generally what your friends will say. But suppose you're one of the special ones and you decide to draw the line right there. Look, I don't really feel confident about going any further in life until I can understand this basic question. Am I matter or am I spirit? What is the secret of my identity? Those rare ones, those special persons who do like that, they will be eligible to understand what is real pleasure free from anxiety. Real pleasure free from anxiety can only be found on the spiritual platform. That is the proper solution to stress and anxiety. Okay, we can make adjustments like get more rest, work less hours, change your job, change your partner, and in this way, you know, try to reduce anxiety. But all those adjustments are based on a falsity. They're based on an illusion that I am this body, I am this mind. How can that be when the body is always changing, the mind is always changing? Where can I get knowledge of the spirit soul? So that is why we recommend to you Krishna conscious knowledge, because it starts to deal with the basic problem of existence, points out that as long as we are identifying with matter, there must be stress, there must be anxiety. And why is the stress and anxiety increasing these days? Because the identification with matter is increasing. You see? There's a different way of looking at things. Okay. Now, I'm sure some of you are thinking, well, I don't completely know if we have a spiritual identity. That's fair enough. But also you can't say that you completely know you have a material identity. You see, most people are caught in between. Even scientists are like that, and I talk to so many scientists around the world. You have three groups of scientists. One group says, everything is matter, we are just matter, we're quite sure. That's a minority group. Then you have another minority group on the other side. We know there must be a spiritual energy. The fact that we have consciousness and cannot explain consciousness with our science lets us know that there's something different going on. So it cannot be that we are just matter. That's also a minority group. Then in the middle, there's the third group, which is the biggest group of scientists who say, we just don't know. So it's very necessary for your quest for peace and pleasure to try and understand what is your identity and make decisions in your lifestyle based on that. Then there can be a hope to free yourself from stress and anxiety. Otherwise, you can see in society today the stress and anxiety is increasing. People don't know what to do. You cannot spend your whole life taking drugs. You cannot spend your whole life in the forgetfulness of alcohol. You know that. You try for a while, but you can't. There has to be an intelligent solution to this stress and anxiety problem, which is so painful. So we're recommending that you take a spiritual solution, not just do some deep breathing. I mean, there are so many animal species that can shut down their system and slow down their heartbeat, slow their breathing down. But that doesn't mean that these creatures have actually solved the problems of life. So we'd like to recommend that you take a spiritual solution. We ourselves are recommending you explore the knowledge of Krishna consciousness and see where it leads you. That's all. In any case, even if you don't choose to take up the spiritual solution of Krishna consciousness, we would implore you to please adjust your lifestyle at least a little bit so that your fine minds and intelligence aren't corroded by the omnipresent stress and anxiety of society today. Be prepared for that stress and anxiety. It's only going to increase. I know many of you here are students. By the time you finish your university studies, the stress level, the anxiety level in society will be up another notch or two. So be prepared for that. And that's part of your future planning. It didn't used to be like that to such a degree. But remember, as I pointed out, according to the ancient Vedic knowledge of India, life in the material world, the matter-based world, always has a degree of stress and anxiety. Still, it is a fact that things were not so bad as they are now in terms of stress and anxiety. So you have to be aware of these things. Otherwise, what kind of healthy and sound future can you have if the mind is filled with anxiety disorder, which is such a common problem these days? All right, we'll stop there, and we'll see. Maybe some of you have a few questions. Yes. Oh, I didn't say it was better. Yes. Oh, okay, fair enough. Oh, you want to know why I picked it? Well, I had basically studied everything I could study. I was attending Yale University, which these days costs the equivalent of $45,000 Australian a year. I didn't pay it. I was on scholarship, or you call it a bursary here?
Yes.
Yeah, so I was looking for what is the deepest knowledge. And I just explored everything I could, and I could not find anything as deep in its presentation of the material and spiritual reality as Krishna consciousness. That was 30 years ago. My university days ended 31 years ago. Now, in 30 years of world traveling and studying so many things on my own, I still have not found anything as extraordinary in its presentation of material and spiritual reality as Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, I wholeheartedly recommend it. Yes? I can't. I saw someone's hand, but I should be wearing glasses. But yes, as I explained, we have a contradiction, which is actually the is causing the clash. I never said that. I said that just as we are spirit soul inhabiting bodies of matter, similarly, we can practice a spiritual lifestyle even while inhabiting the material world. That is the best technology. How to act according to your spiritual identity even within the world of matter, the matter-based world. Now, whether or not there's worlds beyond the matter-based world, I won't discuss that for now. But you can find that information given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Yes. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, prastasmat tu bhavonyo, is a Sanskrit, vyakta vyakta, sanatana. Sanatana in Sanskrit means eternal. So Lord Krishna explains that just like there is the temporary world of matter, similarly there is a world of antimatter where the components are eternal and what the components make are eternal. Whereas the material world is temporary, things have a beginning and end. So Lord Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita, there's two types of habitats. The fact that if you accept that you're not the body, your spirit soul inhabiting the body, lets you know that there indeed is a dual reality. We're not afraid of the dualism. But both dualities come from the same source. That is what Krishna is explaining in Bhagavad Gita. Both the matter and the spirit come from the same source. Different things emanating from the same source of all energies. This is a slight drop of the fascinating knowledge that Krishna speaks. In other words, the inferior reality and the superior reality, the matter-based reality and the spirit reality, come from the same source. Therefore, if you approach that source and take your knowledge about the inferior and superior reality, then you're getting the best knowledge. That goes back to an earlier question. Yes? Yes?
Hmm.
You have three exams to meet on the weekend. How would you deal with it? There's no time to study for all the exams? Huh? Yes. First of all, if you have a spiritual lifestyle, your mind and intelligence will be clearer. You see, so much of what goes on in our mind is clutter. And therefore you can't concentrate and your mind's not as sharp as it should be. So a byproduct of Krishna consciousness is that you won't be what we call so spaced out. You'll be focused. Otherwise you know what's going on in the material mind all the time. Oh, how do I feel? How does the body feel? Oh, what's going to happen this weekend? Oh, who's caring for me? Who do I care for? Oh, why do I feel this? I want to feel that. So much mental time is spent in that, yes? So if your mind is more focused in Krishna consciousness, you'll be able to get your material tasks done much quicker. Especially if you have an elevated lifestyle, a purified lifestyle. I'll give you some specifics, but I don't want to scare you. If you can arrange your life so that you are free from meat eating, which really slows down your thoughts, and also slows down your digestive process. If you can arrange your life so that you're free from intoxication, I mean, we're bewildered and spaced out enough, we don't need things to increase the situation. If you can control your sexual liaisons so that you can conserve your energies and your focus, then you'll have much more concentration when it comes time for passing your exams. Too high a price to pay, huh? Combined with all that, if you really want to be into something, if you add the Hare Krishna mantra meditation to your lifestyle, then you can access a different kind of energy. You can access the spiritual energy in a way that you'll experience it rather than just have faith. And then your whole life will be much more efficient because you'll understand why you're in this world and what you're supposed to be doing. So much of our inertia and unsteadiness is due to the fact that we don't really know, what am I doing here? What am I supposed to be doing? What are the other people doing? Maybe they know. That slows you down. You know there are some mornings where you just wake up and wonder, what's it all about? Maybe not often, but it happens to everyone. That slows you down. But if you actually have experience of what it's all about, then you can be very precise and spot on in what you're doing. In other words, okay, why should you pass the exams? Huh? Why? Uh-huh. Huh? She paid the money for... Why did she pay the money for the course? Yes, very good answer. Right, so it's... But you've got to go above that and look at your life and see, what is the central goal of my life? Not to say there's anything wrong with taking courses and paying for courses and all that, but that's not your ultimate goal. Your ultimate goal is not to pay for courses and pass them. You're hoping for a better future. You're hoping for a peaceful, secure future. Now, can that be possible on the material platform? Can you have peace and true pleasure with the material concept of life? That's the question you should be concerned with. That's the real exam to pass. After this weekend, think about it. Okay? Yes.
Hmm.
Very good.
Will it replace your current lifestyle, or will it ideally complement your current lifestyle? So you can live your current lifestyle and life your current goals satisfactorily, or are you replacing those with a whole new set of goals?
It'll upgrade your system. Upgrade your system with better components. Instead of merely striving for matter-based goals, you'll strive for spirit-based goals, and not in a way of like religious belief, but in a way of experience. Religious belief is not going to satisfy you, but spiritual experience can satisfy you. So if you actually are able to get a taste of better pleasure, spiritual pleasure, then that'll convince you. Otherwise, you're not going to go for it. We are pleasure-driven. So if you can actually get a taste of the pleasure of the spiritual reality, the Krishna conscious reality, then you'll begin to seriously consider it. Otherwise, no. Yes, if you are truly wise, you'll adjust your lifestyle so that you're not at the beck and call of temporary matter desires. You're not at the beck and call of your body and mind. That's the best lifestyle, which will lead to a lifestyle of experiencing the spiritual reality if you take advantage of that freedom from peace, freedom from anxiety, and freedom from distress to add spiritual techniques. Then you can be into something. yes, you do have to adjust your lifestyle. Everybody knows that these days. Yeah. Everyone is talking about cut out the caffeine, cut out the recreational drugs, cut out the this, cut out the that, cut out the white sugar. But does it stop there? How deep does this go? It's in your self-interest to find out what are the most productive lifestyle alterations you can make. That's what I'm presenting. That's the other thing I speak about around the world. It's not simply stress management, but lifestyle management. That's actually the most popular subject these days. Everyone's concerned, what about my lifestyle? How can I have the most rewarding, fulfilling lifestyle? In India, they're also worried about this. When I speak in Mumbai, everyone wants to know, lifestyle management. How can we have a fulfilling life? What kind of style should we be living? You can analyze that question on many levels. Ultimately, I advocate the spiritual solution, the Krishna conscious solution. You're not the body, you're spirit soul. Although both the body and the soul are energies of Krishna. If you take Krishna's advice and knowledge how to cope with the material energy and the spiritual energy, then you've got the situation figured out. Anything else? Yes. Do I look like an introvert? I'm pretty extroverted. Come on, I'm from New York. Don't you think everybody should take a look inside sometime? Doesn't mean you have to gaze your navel all day, but, you know, everyone should be a bit contemplative. But today's society doesn't give you that opportunity. And the pressure, the stress is increasing. It's not, what's it going to do for you to look within? You don't have time. It's not going to increase your bank account. Come on, get going. Compete. Be in anxiety. Are you going to be downsized? That's the way it is these days. I'm not saying, of course, don't study, don't work. But I am saying, yes, you owe it to yourself to understand, what are you? Who are you? That's not extreme, is it? Okay, thank you. Glad you agree. Are you matter? Are you spirit? These are the basic questions Krishna raises in Bhagavad Gita. Anything else? Yes. Very good question. This question of ego. This is also described very nicely by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. There is the false ego, which is known in Sanskrit as ahankara. But there is real ego, which is simply known as hankara, without the A. In Sanskrit, when you put an A in front of something, it's not that. And leave it alone, hankara, that's the real thing. So much mistaken spiritual endeavor is based on this myth that all ego is bad. That's like saying all money is bad just because there's counterfeit money. Just because there's false ego doesn't mean that there's not real ego. In fact, false lets you know that there should be real somewhere. Krishna consciousness is the quest to find your real ego. There's nothing wrong with having a proper goal. If you want to uncover your real ego, then you have to take up methods to understand what you're part of. You cannot understand yourself in isolation. Just like a so-called particle of sunlight cannot be understood except in relation to the whole sun. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that all living entities, no matter what body they have, are parts of the Supreme. And if they want to understand the true ego of their existence, they need to do that by seeing themselves in relation to the Supreme Source of everything, by seeing themselves in relation to Krishna. Krishna means the all-attractive reservoir of pleasure. Ultimately, the source of everything is characterized by pleasure. That certainly gives us added incentive to find out about the source of everything, both matter and spirit. Okay, so, well, listen very attentively. It's always like this at RMIT. It's my favorite place in the world for speaking. Not saying that just to, it's true, I speak at a lot of places. And it's very inspiring to feel everyone's intelligence processing according to their own choice. Thank you very much for your attention. And we'll be speaking, I believe, tomorrow at Melbourne Uni. So you're welcome to come along, and maybe you have some more questions then. Thank you very much.